Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Take your neighbor's hand. Let's be in agreement for every family, every person, all those watching. We bring you under the cover as the people came out. The lamb had been slain. The blood had been put on the doorposts and the lintels. As they came out, they were covered with a cloud of glory. And that's the cloud that heals and protects and gives you success and defeats your enemies. No weapon formed against you or your children or your grandchildren can succeed. It is the glory of God is defending you, our families. And as you come under the blood, and this is what we do, it is not a ritual. It is something fresh every time. You are being equipped every week to be mighty, mighty emblems of faith, the warriors and the glory that can take the commissioning power of Jesus Christ. Going to all the world, proclaim good news. You are a carrier of good news. You are loaded with blessing and with good news. Say, I'm a carrier of good news. All right, we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer and be in agreement. Say after me boldly, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus, for his resurrection. He is giving me the victory, the breakthrough, the miracle, the favor, the promotion, the healing. We glorify, give praise to the name of Jesus. Now give him a big, big clap offering. Michael, for a few more minutes, let's sing. He's bringing us out with silver and gold. You can stand up just for a few more minutes and you can be seated.
He's bringing us out with silver and gold. He's bringing us out with silver and gold. He's bringing us out with silver and gold, not one feeble in our midst. He's bringing us out with silver and gold. He's bringing us out with silver and gold. He's bringing us out with silver and gold, not one feeble in our midst. He's bringing me out with silver and gold. He's bringing me out with silver and gold. He's bringing me out with silver and gold, not one feeble in our midst.
Amen. Alrighty, thank you, Lord. Turn to your neighbor, say, silver and gold. Amen. You may be seated. We are a prophetic people. That's why we declare. And it's a training for us. Praise God. It's been so good. It was so great to see Johnny Cook here. And morning. Wait a minute. Stand up for a moment, Morning. Johnny, where are you? Stand up for a second. Our healing team, go up there for a moment and just bless them. Don't overwhelm them. Just zap them, that the bless that heart. And we pray resurrection glory, encouragement, favor. Thank you. The strength coming back to both of these. They are some of our favorites. We all are a favorite. Say, I'm a favorite. We just thank you for what you're doing, Lord. Strengthen. Increase. They're going to serve the living God many more years, loving you and loving your people in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Those who have heart conditions who are watching us, receive a miracle touch right now. We are in agreement. So, and let us know, because we are wanting to release testimony and the power of testimony. Alrighty. Praise God. By the way, just a reminder again, the primaries, we are very interested in what happens in our nation, in our city, our state, and what happens to our schools, what's junk is trying to be brought into our children's education, or who, there are certain people that really I didn't even know the terminology. I'm very interested, would try to get informed about every issue, and boy, was I ignorant about the swamp and all the things that are happening subterranean. And I'm glad God is bringing them up to the surface about how many. It doesn't matter whether they wear a Democrat label or Republican or independent, that there is corruption has touched every branch. May the Lord cleanse the system and deliver us from every corrupt politician who is more in the pay of foreign corporations and different things like that. It's so confusing. I want the Lord to give us clarity and honest, non-corrupt leaders everywhere. So on Tuesday, please participate. I just want to know on behalf of Bonnie and I, we know this house knows Pastor Mark Harris. He has come and eaten at our house. He has been so involved in blessing this area, this city. So we really honor the integrity and the pure heart of this man. And just so sincere. And he didn't need to go do these things. But he is so wanting to bring strength back to our system and to our nation. So anyway, just wanted to mention that. So, remember Mark. The Mark of Zorro. Anyway. Mark. Just remember, what did Pastor Sarah about Zorro? It's a Mark. Mark. Remember Mark. And it's harvest season. What season is it? It is harvest season. So what seeds you have planted, they're going to come up, and I want to put you into the midst of the Hebrew calendar. So this is during the time of, if you, and we love, we are attached to blessing Israel and the Jewish people, and we're committed very much from the beginnings. We have been so close to Israel. When Bonnie and I were just barely married, 6 months, we went and went to Israel with our favorite mentor and apostle, Derek Prince. It was so much fun to eat fish at the Lake of Galilee. And so Derek Prince, he always found me to be the innocent brunt of joke. Whatever he wanted to pull, he would pull on me. And so he looked, I want to take you out to lunch on the Lake of Galilee. I said, thank you. And there's a Galilee Lake. Wonderful, nice restaurant. And Bonnie and I went. And he said that, and the custom when you come is the first time you come, to the Lake of Galilee in this area, you go to eat St. Peter's fish. St. Peter's fish is the fish fished out of the lake there. And they bring you the whole fish. And nicely, it's like coated nicely. And then he looked at me. Didn't look at Bonnie. Just look. Mahesh, the tradition is the first thing you do is eat the eyeballs of St. Peter's fish for blessing. I am hungry for blessing. I popped out the eyeballs and ate. It is some of the yuckiest tasting thing you'll ever taste. And then he started snickering and laugh. He couldn't control himself. He just laughed that I believed every word he said. And that was a joke. Thank you very much. So the rest of the week, I've said this before, but there were those lemon wipes we have, and I would take lemon wipes, and every few minutes I would wipe my tongue. That oil on the, just stayed with you in the year. Anyway, so, but we really, really felt bonded to Israel and the Jewish people. And remember, the scripture says, salvation is of the Jews. That means we owe so much in thanks. We owe everything, the scriptures, the apostles, and our Savior, to the Jewish community. So at this season of the year, this is the time it's congruent. They're preparing, in the biblical times, they would prepare, they were a very agrarian society. So what the crops, the seasons, the crops, and what they have planted, now the crops would be time for this kind of harvest. This was the season of the barley harvest. And they wanted to, so this, what happened during the barley harvest? So there is an amazing, wonderful, awesome story that the rabbis would teach and share from in the Bible. And it's from the book of Ruth. So Ruth is a book of harvest and of this unique favor from God. So we're going to look at the book of Ruth this morning. It is, for me, you've heard me talk about Hallmark movies, but this is one of the most romantic Hallmark movie scripts you have read. It is so full of romance and love and all of that. So I wish they would make a Hallmark movie. They should. Yeah. But I remember, I think there was an old movie from Hollywood. I think it was made in the 50s. Some of you may remember. Called The Book of Ruth. And the one thing I remember, I don't remember much about it, except that there would be, the prophet would come at the beginning, and he blew a shofar. Yay! That's good sound effect. So you heard the shofar, you would say, oh, something about this movie is Jewish. Alrighty, we're going to go and read some aspects of the book of Ruth. Are you ready? Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You are being blessed by the reading of the book of Ruth at this time of the year. And I am believing the harvest is coming in for each of us. The harvest is coming in for your children. And it's supernatural. And that's in this simple story, you'll find how amazing and supernatural God does things, and that which appears like coincidences really is not a coincidence. So realize that as you speak favor over your lives, that there will be no coincidences, that God is up to something, and he's up to something wonderful, and he's up to something major and large. All right? So it says, I am staying mostly with the Message version of the Bible. So in the Message then, chapter 1, verse 1, chapter 1, it's beginning great. Once upon a time, it was back in the days when judges led Israel. There was a famine in the land. A man from Bethlehem in Judah left home to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. So Moab is on the other side of the Dead Sea. They are on the eastern side. And so Elimelech. Say Elimelech. Say it real fast. All right. His wife's name was Naomi. I'm glad that Naomi is more the star. Elimelech is hard to pronounce. His sons were named Mahlon and Chilion, all Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They all went to the country of Moab and settled there. By the way, hopefully, if the tensions are a little calm, usually we get to go, if you go on a tour, we're hoping to go next year to Israel. So plan on going with us and pray that we can go. One of the first things we usually get to do is go to Bethlehem. And it's so much fun because we get to be in this, there is a dome-like tent restaurant that's almost as big as this church building. And it's held up by material that the Arabs have used for all thousands of years. And you get the food from Bethlehem. So it's so much, it really is fun. And but you can see how quickly, as you look around the hills of Bethlehem, it's semi-desert. And you can see how, if it had not rained, how quickly it would be depression, because if they're always counting on the rain to help, otherwise it is arid and a wilderness. So because of the drought, then the family all moves under the leadership of Elimelech and Naomi, Mahlon and Chilion. They went to Moab and settled there. Elimelech died, so he dies there in Moab. Naomi was left, she and her two sons. The sons took Moabite wives. The name of the first was Orpah, the second was Ruth. They lived there in Moab for the next 10 years. But the two brothers, Mahlon and Chilion, died. That's why it's not too pleasant. Now the woman was left without either her young men or her husband. That's Naomi. One day she got herself together, she and her two daughters-in-law, to leave the country of Moab and set out for home. She had heard that God had been pleased to visit his people and give them food. So they're back in Bethlehem, they are doing well. Now in Moab, they are not doing so well. And so she started out from the place she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, with her on the road back to the land of Judah. After a short while on the road, Naomi told her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, go home, and live with your mothers, and may God treat you as graciously as you treated your deceased husbands and me. May God give each of you a new home and a new husband." She kissed them, and they cried openly. They said, "No, we are going on with you to your people. But Naomi was firm. Go back, my dear daughters. Why would you come with me? Do you suppose I still have sons in my womb who can become your future husbands? Go back, dear daughters, on your way, please. I'm too old to get a husband. Why, even if I said there's still hope and this very night got a man and had sons, can you imagine being satisfied to wait until they were grown? Would you wait that long to get married? Or no, dear daughters. This is a bitter pill for me to swallow, more bitter for me than for you. God has dealt me a hard blow. So she's in a place of grief, and she needs recovery. After they cried openly, Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, and she went back to Moab. And as I've said before, she started the Orpah show. Not really. But Ruth embraced her and held on. Naomi said, look, your sister-in-law is going back home to live with her own people and gods. Go with her. But Ruth said, don't force me to leave you. Don't make me go home. Where you go, I go. Where you live, I will live. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Where you die, I will die. And that's where I'll be buried. So help me God. Not even death itself is going to come between us. So this is often the declaration that at weddings we declare this. Your people are my people. Wherever you go, I go. And it's a beautiful profession. But look, of the declaration. And yet you realize it's a daughter-in-law who is speaking to her mother-in-law. And this is where we just want to take note of the greatness of Ruth and the amazing woman that she is. And just take note of what an honor this woman brings in the Bible, and that she is she's a unique gift and an example. Ruth is not from the Jewish background. She is a Moabite. And at that time, Moab, if you are from Moab, you are, according to the Jewish tradition, you're cursed. You are a cursed people. And the reason being, you'll find that some years, many years back, when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, under the God's covering and blessing, the tribe that rose up and tried to do damage to the Israelites as they were coming into the promised land were the Moabites. And so God made a declaration over them and said, no Moabite or any of his descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord, even down to the 10th generation. So just make sure that you never do anything that brings you into a Moabite curse, because the Lord himself says, none of you are going to be able to enter my assembly, my presence, and be blessed. You are under a curse because you cursed the people that I was blessing and I was protecting. So you are in a good place where you are a blessed person and that God is protecting you. Woe unto those who try to mess with God's people. That's number one. So Ruth is coming from a background of people who are despised by the people of God, by the community of Israel. And as Naomi is now coming back to Bethlehem, she's a woman that has been hit with grief and pain, but she has come back to Bethlehem and had the house of bread. Verse 18, when Naomi saw that Ruth had her heart set on going with her, she gave in, and so the two of them traveled together to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was soon buzzing. Is this really our Naomi? And after all this time, but she said, don't call me Naomi, it's the blessed. Call me bitter. The strong one has dealt me a bitter blow. I left here full of life, and God has brought me back with nothing but the clothes on my back. Why would you call me Naomi? God certainly doesn't. The strong one ruined me. So this is in the Message version. So Naomi was back, and Ruth, the foreigner, with her back from the country of Moab. They arrived in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. So this is, that's the season in a sense, in a, this is a season that now we call Pentecost. For us, this is this in the Old Testament also, this was the time, the season of Pentecost. In fact, in about we will have Mother's Day and all of that too coming up, but in about 21 days we will be having Pentecost services and thanking the Lord for pouring out His Spirit, because it is at this season, therefore, the barley harvest is taken. So among the synagogues, they will be focusing these next few weeks on the book of Ruth. This is the time of the barley harvest. Say barley harvest. Say Pentecost. So this is in the old tradition, the Lord, after 50 days, after God brought them out with silver and gold, with the power of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb, 50 days later, God gives them the word on Mount Sinai. He gives them the Ten Commandments. So this is all in the context. This is what's happening in the season between Passover and Pentecost. So it so happened that Naomi had a relative by marriage, a man prominent and rich, connected with Elimelech's family. His name was Boaz. So the Lord, the previous events were all the setup, the background to a great romance about to happen that is very prophetic, very important in the history of our faith, because the product is the end result is not only great fulfillment, great romance, a wedding, a celebration, and all kinds of stuff, and babies, but they are bringing forth the awesome glory of the Lord. They're going to bring forth the Messiah. So the Lord is blessing people, but through them, He is going to fulfill His purpose. And I believe in some way or the other, in each of our lives, God is working a destiny, not only through you, but through your children, that they have had purpose. God is going to use them in a key way at a key time. So, alrighty. So now we go to chapter 2. And I like the King James in this. At this time, it says, but there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. Say Boaz. So Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight I may find favor. In whose sight I may find favor. Say, I may find favor. Say, I am finding favor. So, this is one of the, I titled this message, this is the season for us to catch the season of the barley harvest, to catch that season, and this is your season to declare favor. Say, this is the season of favor. All right. And it is, this is a key to change the atmosphere around us. You hear the confessions and the speech on Naomi, and she has really been declaring negative things. Oh, woe is me. I went out blessed, but now I'm full of grief. And I had sons, and I have nothing now. My husband is gone. She's down. And suddenly, Ruth comes, and she's declaring. Ruth is saying to Naomi, I'm going to go glean in that field, and I am going to find favor. And your tongue, it is important that we take note of what we are talking about ourselves, that this is the season of favor. But there was an article I was looking up where it was about doctors. There are certain doctors who have found that when they diagnose very severe ailments, especially cancer, and the people get really down with the diagnosis, that some doctors are now doing what they call, including with the treatment, they're doing talk therapy. And one of the questions they will ask is a rhetorical, in a sense, and say, let me ask you this. Do people survive this? Have people survived this? And the patient said, I don't know, doc, you know. Let me tell you, people have survived this. So, what are you going to say right now? I am going to survive like those people. I'm going to be among those who survived. And I am going to say, I have a bright future. And not only that, see, if Naomi continued that kind of, she was an amazing, amazing heroic woman, but for a season she gets captured by this thing of depression and grief. And she has let the situation define her. And with Ruth's help, the atmosphere is changing. And she's saying, hey, I have a bright future. I'm going to be among those people who survived here. And it's going to be so much fun to be around me. People will love to hang out with me because it is fun and it is positive, and they are going to be inspired by my testimony and my story. And I am just seeing good things in store ahead of me. Say, good things in store. So, people who are facing threatening disease, and I often have to, even this last week, the last couple of weeks, I've had to phone different, this ministry is known for the healing and miracle aspect of the ministry and the church. And people will say, will you phone here and will you phone pray over them? And I will, and often the prophetic river is flowing right there, and I prophesy over them, and we prophesy great things because it's the Lord who's speaking. And I want you to start, we need to take up a fresh flow of prophetic declarations and favor over yourself. Say, over myself. favor. Good things. And then people, I believe, the more we are in that realm, the more people will hang out, will love to hang out with you and hear more from you. And may Naomi, you will see the transformation in Naomi. And by the way, in that article of the doctors making those patients share, I mean, so many of them totally changed their atmosphere and their diagnosis, that it does impact your diagnosis if you stay in the mode of faith and declaring favor. So, let's go back to Boaz. One day Ruth, the Moabite foreigner, said to Naomi, I'm going to go to work, I'm going to glean, following after some harvester who will treat me kindly. Naomi said, go ahead, dear daughter. So she set out. She went and started gleaning in a field, following in the wake of the harvesters. Eventually, she ended up in the part of the field owned by Boaz, her father-in-law, Elimelech's relative. Now, you see, and just by accident, she ended up being at the field of Boaz. Now, let me ask you, was that a coincidence? No. God is watching and making all the arrangements for wonderful things. He's setting her and Naomi up for great miracle provision and great destiny to be fulfilled. A little later, Boaz came out from Bethlehem, greeting his harvesters. God be with you, they replied, God bless you. Boaz asked his young servant, who was the foreman over the farmhand, who is this young woman? Where did she come from? So he notices Ruth is among the gleaners. Now I got to point, for those who may not know that in the word itself, God had said during the harvest season, be kind to the poor and those who are in need, and let them work on the edges of the field, and where things drop, don't collect all of this stuff, because there are poor people who can harvest from the leftover stuff and get enough to eat for themselves. And be kind to them. So the God of Israel made provision in that way for those who are hurting or who are poor. The foreman said, verse 6, why, that's the Moabite girl, the one who came with Naomi from the country of Moab. She asked permission. Let me glean, she said, and gather among the sheaves, following after your harvester. She has been at it steady ever since, from early morning until now, without so much as a break. Remember what Ruth had declared. May God give me favor. Say favor. Then Boaz spoke to Ruth. Listen, my daughter, from now on, don't go to any other field to glean. Stay right here in this one. And stay close to my young women. Watch where they're harvesting and follow them. Don't worry about a thing. I've given orders to my servants not to harass you. When you get thirsty, feel free to go and drink some water from the water bucket that the servants have filled. She dropped to her knees, then bowed her face to the ground. How does it happen that you should pick me out and treat me so kindly? Me, a foreigner. And I would have said, favor. Boaz answered, I've heard all about you. Heard about the way you treated your mother-in-law after the death of her husband, and how you left your father and mother and the land of your birth, and have come to live among a bunch of total strangers. God reward you well for what you have done, with a generous bonus besides from God, to whom you have come, seeking protection under his wings. She said, "Oh, sir, such a grace, such kindness. I don't deserve it. You have touched my heart, treated me like one of your own, and I don't even belong here." At the lunch break, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, eat some bread, dip it in the wine." So she joined the harvesters. Boaz passed the roasted grain to her. She ate her fill and even had some left over. When she got up to go back to work, Boaz ordered his servants, "Let her glean where there's still plenty of grain on the ground. Make it easy for her. Better yet, pull some of the good stuff out. Leave it to her for her to glean. Give her special treatment." Would you say favor? And he's a very, very prosperous man. Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. When she threshed out what she had gathered, she ended up with nearly a full sack of barley. She gathered up her gleanings, went back to town, showed her mother-in-law the result of her day's work. She also gave her the leftovers from her lunch. Naomi asked her, "So where did you glean today? Whose field? God bless whoever it was who took such good care of you." So she, when Boaz says, you stay here, don't go anywhere, it was because you never know how. In other fields, the servants would be nasty. They could violently attack them. And he was taking care of her physically and then taking care of her where she needed supply. So she was going to, she got into that place now where she's getting more than enough. She's in the overflow. So she joined the harvesters. Boaz passed the roasted grain to her. She ate her fill and even had some left over. That's left over. Say overflow. And the reason it's great to go in the Word at this time is I feel like it is the right time of the year for us to aggressively start declaring favor, favor, favor at whatever challenge you're finding yourself in, your job, where your workplace is concerned, where your finances are concerned, your tax, or where you're on a project, or whatever you're about to touch. Say, "Lord, thank you. I'm speaking favor, and my speech is filled with favor and not negativity." There is a transformation that God wants to give us to recognize. I mean, this Friday, as we were praying, we also put ourselves in context that even in the last two, three days before Friday, that there were laws passed in Iowa, in South Carolina, but there was just an amazing, I mean, one of the most pioneering anti-abortion laws, which said, you know, the moment a little baby in the womb, heartbeat can be felt, you cannot touch that baby. That baby has the law's protection, and you cannot abort that baby. That's good news. Thank you, Lord. And remember, I just want to point out that it's because people like you and I, it's who have said, we are going to do what is right and show up to vote for godly men and women who will have our own values. We know that if we slay the babies in the womb, a curse can come upon the land, that the shedding of innocent blood brings curses on a land. And I want to live in a blessed land. I want blessing. Don't touch that baby. And it's amazing when you... I was started my pastoring as a very young pastor in the early 70s. I started pastoring a church. in 72, 73, and then 74, I was officially ordained. Been wonderful, and had my internship in Macon, Georgia, and wonderful apostolic pastor named Don Van Hoosier. But I remember the whole culture at that time, and they were trying to inject abortion into that, and we never thought it would be at this level. Oh, abortion, it's just going to be very, very, very exceptional. In the rare event that the woman's life is in total danger, we do need to have abortion. And you kind of, Christians want to be kind of considerate of everybody and say, okay, well, we may allow it. And the moment you allow that, this darkness will take over. The same as be tolerant of certain lifestyles that we used to consider, Bible considers, perverted. And no, but everybody has rights. Let's give. And we say, okay, we'll allow that. Okay. And 20 years later, Christians are put in prison or lose all their money if they don't serve and bow to the situation's values. So it's very vital that we participate. Where our voice can be heard, you make it heard. And that your values are going to be honored and respected. I'm just thinking and celebrating, really. Thanking the Lord for the victory we had last week. Praise God. And then the president established an evangelical place in the White House for people who are of our values, their voice can be heard in the White House on a constant basis. Praise God. The word, verse 70, I wanted to there's a terminology here. Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. When she threshed out what she had gathered, she ended up with nearly a full sack of barley. In the King James, it says an ephah of barley. An ephah, I just want you to know for your enlightenment, an ephah is a 10-day supply. So when she got that, it was a 10-day supply. And then later, she gets a 6-month supply. I mean, it goes from glory to glory. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, why God bless that man? This man with whom I work today, his name is Boaz. Who was the one who took good care of you? It was Boaz. Why? God bless that man. God hasn't quite walked out on us after all. He still loves us in bad times as well as good. Naomi went on, that man, Ruth, is one of our circle of covenant redeemers. A close relative of ours. Ruth the Moabitess said, well, listen to this. He also told me, stick with my workers until my harvesting is finished. Naomi said to Ruth, that's wonderful, dear daughter. Do that. You'll be safe in the company of his young women. No danger now of being raped in some stranger's field. How about that? That concern of rape and all that goes way back. So she was under protection and covered in the field of Boaz. So Ruth did it. She stuck close to Boaz as young women, gleaning in the fields daily until both the barley and wheat harvesting were finished. And she continued living with her mother-in-law. One day her mother-in-law Naomi said to Ruth, my dear daughter, isn't it about time I arranged a good home for you so you can have a happy life? And isn't Boaz our close relative? The one with whose young women you've been working. Maybe it's time to make our move. Tonight is the night of Boaz's barley harvest at the threshing floor. Tonight is the night. Time to make a move, yes. Take a bath. Put on some perfume. Wow, it hasn't changed. How about that? Get all dressed up and go to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until the party's well underway. And he's had plenty of food and drink. When you see him slipping off to sleep, watch where he lies down and then go there. Lie at his feet to let him know that you are available to him for marriage. Then wait and see what he says. He'll tell you what to do. So this is whole, I mean, there's nothing ugly about this. This was the custom of the day. It's all clean. Ruth said, if you say so, I'll do it, just as you told me. She went down to the threshing floor and put her mother-in-law's plan into action. Boaz had a good time eating and drinking his fill. He felt great. Then he went off to get some sleep, lying down at the end of a stack of barley. Ruth quietly followed. She lay down to signal her availability for marriage. In the middle of the night, the man was suddenly startled and said up, surprise! This woman was asleep at his feet. He said, who are you? You must have been pretty drunk. He hadn't met her before. She said, I am Ruth, your maiden. Take me under your protective wing. You are my close relative. That's what they call the kinsman redeemer. And that's why, by the way, one of the titles of Jesus for us is he is our mighty kinsman redeemer. So Boaz is a type of Jesus. He is the kinsman redeemer. He will claim her. He has a right to. But there's someone else who has a right. Before him, he had a right. So this is taken care of in a moment. You're my close relative. You do have the right to marry me. He said, God bless you, my dear daughter. What a splendid expression of love. When you could have had your pick of any of the young men around. So he must be in his more like 40s and 50s. Maybe. I don't know. And now, my dear daughter, don't you worry about a thing. I'll do all you could want to ask. Everybody in town knows what a courageous woman you are. A real price. You're right, I'm a close relative to you, but there's one even closer than I am. So stay the rest of the night. In the morning, if he wants to exercise his customary rights and responsibilities as the closest covenant redeemer, he'll have his chance. But if he isn't interested, as God lives, I will do it. Now go back to sleep until morning. Ruth slept at his feet until dawn, but she got up while it was still dark. Wouldn't be recognized. Then Boaz said to himself, no one must know that Ruth came to the threshing floor. So Boaz said, bring the shawl you're wearing and spread it out. She spread it out and he poured it full of barley, 6 measures, and put it on her shoulders. There was when she went back to town. By the way, that was enough to last them 6 months. When she came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, how did this thing go, my dear daughter? Ruth told her everything that the man had done for her, adding, and he gave me all this barley besides. 6 quarts. He told me you cannot go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Naomi said, sit back and relax, my dear daughter, until we find out how things turn out. That man isn't going to fool around. Mark my words. He's going to get everything wrapped up today. And that's what Boaz then goes, has a meeting with the elders, with this other man, and says, you have a right to claim Naomi's inheritance and this daughter-in-law. You have first rights. Do you want them? And the relative said, I can't do that. I jeopardize my own family's inheritance. You go ahead and buy it. You can have my rights. I cannot do it. In the olden times in Israel, verse 7, chapter 4, this is how they handled official business regarding matters of property and inheritance. Man would take off his shoe and give it to the other person. This was the same as an official seal or personal signature in Israel. So when Boaz's redeemer relative said, go ahead and buy it. He signed the deal by pulling off his shoe. Then Boaz addressed the elders and all the people in the town. You are witnesses today that I bought from Naomi everything that belonged to Elimelech and Kilion and Mahlon, including responsibility for Ruth, the foreigner, the widow of Mahlon. I'll take her as my wife and keep the name of the deceased Eliah alive along with his inheritance. And the memory and reputation of the deceased is not going to disappear out of this family. To all this you are witnesses this very day. And the people in the town said, yes, we are witnesses. May God make this woman who is coming into your household like Rachel and Leah, the two women who built the family of Israel. May God make you a pillar in Ephrathah, famous in Bethlehem, with children of God gives you from this woman. May your family rival the family of Perez, the son Tamar bore to Judah. So Boaz marries Ruth. She became his wife. Boaz knew her. By God's gracious gift, she conceived and had a son. The town women said to Naomi, blessed be God, he didn't leave you without family to carry on your life. May this baby grow up to be famous in Israel. He'll make you young again. He'll take care of you in old age. And this daughter-in-law who has brought him into the world loves you so much. Why? She's worth more to you than seven sons. Naomi took the baby and held him in her arms, cuddling him, cooing over him, waiting on him hand and foot. The neighborhood women started calling him Naomi's baby boy, but his real name was Obed. And Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David. And as you remember now, when Jesus comes, one of his titles is Son of David. So this is how the Davidic lineage, this is the origin, and from it, that line comes the Messiah, Jesus. So we see Ruth, an outsider, a Moabite, that because of a heart of love and loyalty and declaration, your people shall be my people. This is a book of covenant, and in that, a book of favor. So the thing was, we see the favor was on Ruth. That was the thing. As she kept on gleaning in the field of Boaz, favor kept coming on her. And it is just as, realize this, that she is coming from a cursed people, the Moabites. But God is no respecter of persons. Whatever has happened in our past, do not ever let past things define us. And secondly, we have to be so careful and honoring of the words we speak. I believe one of the key factors for Ruth is she shaped her world by how she shaped her words. I am going to receive favor. And that's one of the major things that the Lord for me is emphasizing for this season, is have the discipline of keeping and persisting in making the right declarations. I am blessed through the blood of Jesus. My children are blessed. We have favor. We have promotion. The people of God, wherever the church of Jesus is, wherever a believer is, that situation is blessed because you are there. And that was part of the whole blessing. I mean, now I'm getting, my vision gets large in history. But the Reformation raised up a bunch of people that wherever they were, the economy was blessed. They were not only hard workers, but pleasant workers. They had joy in the Lord, and they brought and changed the atmosphere wherever they went. I remember going to certain nations and I don't want to cough in your face here, but go to some of these nations had the spirit of Antichrist in them, and everything was dark and depressing, and you had such compassion on these people. How could people live in this? And it was darkness, and they worshiped dark things. And when the message of Jesus would come forth, I remember literally villages that would be singing the songs of Jesus as the revival would come. The atmosphere over that whole area would change, and rain would start coming, that wherever there were believers, there would be a harvest, and the harvest would be blessed. I mean, it's an amazing change. So we should not apologize to one person of proclaiming the awesome might of Jesus and the blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Naomi herself is blessed coming into this land of Israel. But she herself brings a blessing because of her favor, her speech, and ongoing, may you be stewards of your atmosphere. What are you speaking? And where you are speaking and the flow out of your life is negative. Yeah, yeah, yeah. May you be delivered. May your tongue be delivered. So it's an issue of life. You are continuously blessing. And that is, for me, the story of Ruth is a story of favor, of God's kindness, compassion, and that He is no respecter of persons. He can use any of us, and our past does not prophesy our future. You do, and you're going to say, my future is blessed. Me and my children are going to bless the nation. Just think that as Ruth did the simple things in faith and lay down at the feet of Boaz. By the way, that was one of the prophetic pictures that helped us. The Lord gave that to us as we began the watch, and now the prayer, the whole watch prayer movement is that we are lying all night at the feet of Jesus. And he is our Boaz, and we are the corporate Ruth, the bride of Christ. And that out of it, that out of that connection then comes Obed. And from Obed comes Jesse. And from Jesse comes the great warrior and king, King David. And from King David comes forth in his line the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So praise God for Ruth. Let's give Ruth a big clap of hands. Thank you, Lord. All right, so let's all stand. And we are going to, I'm just going to say that in this season, raise your hand. Say, in this season of harvest, I am declaring the favor of God over my life, of our life, over my children's life, over my entire family. I'm declaring favor over my finances, favor over my church, favor over everything I touch. Wherever I go, I am bringing favor. I am declaring I am favored. I am blessed. I thank you for the life of Ruth. My season is changing, and I'm loaded with fear, with favor, and I renounce fear, depression, every negative confession. I put it under the blood. We are blessed by our Boaz. Jesus Christ has claimed us through his blood. I am favored. Amen. Thank you, Father. Lay your hands on your neighbor and say, I declare favor. Pray over them in the spirit for a moment. Step into favor. We are stepping into the season of favor. And for our nation, this is a season of favor. I'm favored in healing. I'm favored in finances. I'm favored in my marriage. Favored in my children. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. And thank you. Take a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, yeah. Give him a big clap offer. I wish I had a picture of Boaz and Ruth. I could show it. Here they are. And here are their wedding pictures. Amen. If the healing team would come here, please. Prophetic team. If you need a...
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.